B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
It is the 5 o'clock hour. You can climb in at 610-620-975. Sixer-centric topic today. We'll go over the parameters here. Of course, now I happen to agree with Keith Pompey, and that's why I'm rooting for the Pacers to win that first game. So we'll get into that in a second. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guided and Door Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDED, or visit goguida.com. So one thing we didn't talk about, that Cam Newton signs with the Patriots, incentive-laden contract, and it has changed the odds for the New England Patriots.
Oh, it did?
Yes. So the Patriots' Super Bowl odds got a little better. They went from 28-1 to 25-1. Cam Newton's MVP odds went from 100-1 to 40-1.
It's worth a look.
And now, this is an interesting one. How many games will Cam Newton start for the Patriots during the 2020 regular season? The over-under is 8.5.
That could be injury-related. He's been hurt a lot.
You going over or under?
I'm going to go over.
I think I'd go over, too. That's worth a shot.
Yeah, I'll go over.
That's a slick move by the Patriots. Anyway, like we talked about it before, that's what they should do. And they did it. So they went from non-viable to viable now.
Yep. And they already, apparently, for all the people to say, oh, he won't start, apparently McDaniel's already contacted him because they're going to cater some of the offense.
There's no way he can't start. I mean, you have Jared Stidham there. I mean, come on.
Well, there's people who want to believe. There's people who actually want to believe that he was just out of work because he stunk, because it makes them feel better.
Yeah. Well,
you get what I'm saying? So to say that, though, so he may not even start.
Yeah.
So it's clear he's going to start, assuming he's healthy. The shoulder's been a problem and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Belichick has claimed, apparently, behind the scenes, that they felt like Tom restricted the offense at this point at his age. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he feels like he can open up his playbook more.
Yeah. Well, they don't really have many skill players, so Cam's going to have to like do wonders for them offensively.
Yeah. But the defense is good.
Yeah.
So run the ball. I mean, that
would be a smart move. I mean, you really don't. You can't play conventional because you don't have Brady anymore who can make these little guys overachieve. So this quarterback's going to be. You're going to have to make plays for them.
Yeah. And now Chase Daniel is making more than Cam and Jameis combined.
Wow. this Chase Daniel. I tell you, he's got to beat this guy. All right, some odds on the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, okay.
Matchups as far as World Series.
All right.
The Yankees and Phillies. 50-1.
That's not that crazy.
It isn't that crazy.
It's not crazy.
Huh. 50-1.
That's worth a flyer.
The Astros and Phillies, 100-1.
That's also not crazy.
The Minnesota Twins versus the Phillies, 175.
Twins are good.
And then you get ridiculous odds. Like you can go way down and go Chicago White Sox, who were supposed to be something this year. We ever watch that. That might be a good bet, those White Sox.
What are they at?
White Sox, Phillies, 225-1. But you bet the White Sox in general, I think you can get a good price on them. They're an up-and-coming team. They're going to be good.
Think so?
Yeah, you can watch White Sox this year. They got some raw talent. All right, 610-622-0975. Now, as far as the Sixers go, if you just joined us, we've got the 8 games for the rest of the year and then the playoff situation. And you know what the playoffs ramifications are. They're in the 6th seed right now. They would play probably the Boston Celtics in the first round of the playoffs. However, it looks likely they could leapfrog the Indiana Pacers and get either the 5th seed or the 4th seed, in which they would tie themselves into a first round matchup with the Miami Heat. However, if they get into that spot against the Miami Heat and they beat the Miami Heat, the second round opponent would be the Milwaukee Bucks. That is why I am rooting for the Sixers to stay in the 6th seed, which means I am rooting for them to lose the first game out of the gate here, Saturday, August 1st, against the Indiana Pacers. Because if the Pacers win that game, the Pacers take the tie break. So if both teams go 5-3 the rest of the way, and you can look at the schedule just like we have, 5-3, Pacers win the first game, Pacers win the tie break, Sixers stay in the sixth seed. So what I'm counting on is, A, not to lose in the second round of the Bucks, but more importantly, to maybe get a chance for the Sixers to beat the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, because they will have been through Boston and likely Toronto, which means they're on a roll. So that, I think, is their best chance, besides the deathly fear that I have that this team again would lose in the second round.
Well,
I think I need to convince the populace that that is the best choice for the Sixers.
Yeah, because the instinct for people is, I want them to come back and go 8-0.
Yeah, move up, move up, move up.
Right.
Get a better seed, get a better seed.
Right.
But a better seed means they have to play the Bucks in the second round, and I don't think they will be in sync enough to handle that kind of a challenge.
That's a very fair point. Let me ask you this about the two stars.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's Embiid, there's people in an Embiid camp and a Simmons camp, because for some reason people feel like they have to take sides. At the end of these playoffs, do you think we'll have a better view of who the quote-unquote guy is? Or will we still need another year to figure it out? Because there's always this thought that somebody has to be Batman, somebody has to be Robin. Well, right now, we still don't know.
I think we'll need another year to figure it out.
You think we're going to need a new? So at the end of these playoffs, we still won't know which one is the lead dog.
Because otherwise, you're believing in fantasy. Like, they've been away from us so long, all of a sudden somebody's coming back as Batman.
Right.
You know? Like, I'm a hard sell when it comes to that. Like, I go, nah. Things aren't going to change. Two things aren't going to change. They're both not going to identify themselves as the leader. And the other thing is, Ben's not going to shoot. So they are what they are, and it's just a matter of whether this guy can coach his way through that and get some unexpected results off his bench, namely Alec Burks.
He can make himself
provide
some money.
Exactly. He needs to provide some offense of the guys that are going to shoot off the bench.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Tom in Northeast Philly. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Tom?
Before I get to my basketball point, I want to give one little piece of golf trivia, which you may know, and that is that there's only been one hole-in-one in PGA history on a par four, and it happened in the Phoenix Open in 2001. Andrew McGee was playing a 340-yard hole, and he hit the ball while there were other players still on the green because he didn't think he could reach it. But the ball flew farther than he thought. It rolled up there. And Tom Byron was standing there getting ready to putt when the ball hit his putter and actually went in the hole 8 feet away. That's the only hole-in-one in PGA history.
Did they count it as a hole-in-one even though it went off his putter?
They brought in an official, and they called it as a hole-in-one.
I didn't know that. You always got something for me, Tom.
I do. And here's the funny, the line, the best line of all, was the caddy for Byron, who was getting ready to putt. He said, you know, that's the longest putt my guy made all day.
Well, how about that? That's good stuff, brother.
Anyway, basketball.
Yes.
As I think I told you before, I have the Sixers at 30-1. I like the way you're running this down. I think I'd like to go exactly the way you call it, but I'm going with them all the way, of course, to win it all. 30-1, so I can't wait for them to get back there.
Oh, listen, good luck to you. 31's a nice price.
I think it is. I think it's fair. I mean, they shouldn't be, you know, too much better than that. But I think it's a price that I can live with. And
you know, what's interesting, if they play Boston in the first round, Boston will be the favorite.
And I like the idea of Shake and with Horford coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And a neutral court, I like that too.
All right. You got it, Tom.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Now, we talked to Keep Pop Hey earlier. And Tyrone and I did this earlier today, so we'll do it again, because now I agree with Keith Pompey. But see, he's got 5 wins in a row. I guess I could. All right, so the whole thing starts with a loss to the Pacers on August 1st. You got that as a win.
I have that as a win, yes.
Then the Spurs.
I have that also as a win due to the Spurs situation.
Okay, and you also had them beating the Wizards.
Yes, I'm so starting off 3-0.
You got them 3-0. Mm-hmm. Now, the next game is the Magic. You have a loss.
I have them losing to the Magic, yep.
I'll take that as a win. I'm going to go with Pompeii. I'm going to go win, loss, win, win, win.
Okay.
And then Trailblazers win.
Yes, because they don't want to play.
They don't want to play. And then Suns win.
Yes, because they also, will, by that point, will probably be eliminated from the playoffs.
All right. Then you, the Raptors, you have as a loss.
Yep.
And the Rockets,
I believe, will be meaningless, and they are, either way, I think they will lose.
They'll lose. Okay. So you've got them
5-3.
Also 5-3.
Yeah, just a different
way. But you had the Pacers 3-5.
Mm-hmm. And I think they end up ahead.
Okay.
I don't want that to happen now that you're laying it out. And maybe I'm underrating the Pacers, but the Pacers have a tougher schedule, it looks like.
All right. So here's the Pacers schedule. After the Sixers, Wizards win. Magic, you got lost there. You give respect to the Magic. You got to beat the Sixers and the Pacers.
They have been a weird team like that. They get a bunch of wins they don't deserve. I hate watching them, too. And I still hate Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, I see the Magic.
All right.
Suns win.
Yeah.
So that's that. I got the Pacers winning 4 in a row.
Okay.
And the Lakers, they won't win. And the Heat, they'll have two with the Heat in the last three. They'll split.
Split, yeah.
And they're losing the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 5-3 for the Pacers.
In my scenario, the Sixers win the tiebreaker. In your scenario, the Sixers lose
the
tiebreaker.
Which sets up perfectly for me.
Right. So you, really.
The best case scenario, this is like I put it together with a jigsaw puzzle.
Yes.
They both go 5-3. The Pacers win that game and win the tiebreaker. The Sixers play Boston in the first round, win that series. Play Toronto, win that series, and then play the Bucks with a head of steam.
That's something. You know what? That would be, if that plays out, we're happy.
What?
We'd sign
Isn't
for that.
Isn't that the better scenario? They leapfrog, like your thing, is when it puts them in the fourth or fifth slot.
They play the Heat.
They play the Heat and then the Bucks.
And then they play the Bucks and they
Are
get-
they ready for that? Can they beat the Bucks in the second round under those parameters?
I do not believe that they can. At the same time, no, I do not believe that they can. I do not believe that they can. I think the Bucks were better all year. I still think the Bucks are better. But I do think the Sixers, of any team in the East, they're most built to test the Bucks. I think the Bucks would go through like a hot knife through butter on some of these other teams in the East. I think they would struggle with the Sixers due to size. Sixers got a lot of size.
All right. I have another ethical situation here, which to me, If I'm a state legislator, I make a law that would prevent this.
Okay.
So this guy emails me and he says, yesterday, my wife ordered food from a pizza place. When checking the status of the order, it said it was delivered, but our food never arrived. My wife then called the pizza place where they realized a mistake had occurred. I live at 312, and the delivery guy brought the food to 321.
Oh, no.
That can happen.
Yeah.
The person who lives at 321 accepted the food and signed the receipt knowing they hadn't ordered the food. The pizza place sent my wife her order free of charge, so it didn't cost me anything extra. But I'm still questioning whether to confront 321 for, at the time, stealing my food.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yes.
See, that's a misdemeanor.
So 321.
That's a fine, subject to jail.
I think that person should do 30 days in jail.
Exactly.
You stole food. You should 30 days in jail.
You can't steal someone's pizza.
Now, I say do not confront them right now due to corona.
Uh-huh.
Without the virus, I would say confront. Right now, because this is what's going to happen. A person that's going to take the food is not a nice, kind person. So you're going to confront them.
What kind of a creep would take them? I don't understand that at all.
That's happened before, and I've intentionally not touched it because what they can't allow, if I touch it, and then even if I give it back, now there's liability because what if I did something to the food? So you have to just turn it away. So that's why you're just a bad person. That person's not just going to admit that they were wrong. You're going to get into a fight, which means you will not be able to socially distance. You're going to rip that mask off because you're yelling. So do not confront until after there's a vaccine.
I mean,
but I would. This is one I keep in my back pocket. You're going to need to borrow a cup of sugar. There's going to be something. At some point, 521's going to need something.
Yeah.
And that's when I have to drop the hammer. But I can't do it now because I don't want to catch the virus.
Well, what
over
if,
pizza.
What if somebody in 521 thought that somebody else in the house ordered
no
pizza?
No excuses.
I'm just, there could be.
You signed it.
That would be a hell of a coincidence if somebody ordered the same time at 321 and 312.
From the same place.
Right.
And the same
that
order.
That guy, whoever accepted that as a creep.
That's a creep.
Yeah, you can't
because
steal
Because this food's
pizza.
Already paid for, so they're getting free food.
And I bet you they didn't even do a proper tip.
No, you know what?
What if you're a 20% tipper and then they go to that house and 21 gives a 5% tip? Now you jip the driver too while you're stealing.
No, you know what you should do? You should leave a note. Please don't steal my pizza. To you.
I'm okay
the note.
Socially distanced
Yes.
Note.
I know that you stole my pizza.
Let me ask you
this. And I'm not okay with it.
You guys are both delivery people. I'm more of a pickup guy. I like a pickup.
Yeah, I'm delivery.
I'm not a delivery guy.
Delivery. I don't want anybody intruding on my space.
All right, I get that.
I don't go delivery. So I'll pick it up. Now, when you pick up, you've picked up in the past. When you pick up, do you check the order?
Okay. My rule with the order usually is if the bag, if I go pick up Chinese, my place staples the bag shut.
Right. So
I don't open the bag to check. But if the bag's open,
you'll check.
I do. I peek.
So
I
you won't. Oh, the staple is interesting. The staple is a deterrent to you checking on your own order.
Yeah, in the store. Like maybe I have to, because then I got to undo the staple, or it's usually a couple
staples.
Just a
snap.
Yeah.
It's a couple of staples.
No, sometimes.
Right?
There's three
staples.
There's two, one on each end,
yeah,
and then
one
there's
on each
a
end,
staple
one
in
the
middle.
Yeah, there's three staples. Mm-hmm. So you can damage the bag and rip up the bag.
Yeah.
So then I open it, and then I'm checking.
It's your food, man.
Right, but I'm checking if it's shrimp fried rice versus pork fried rice versus chicken fried. No. I just, if they staple it shut, they win.
See, I never check it, and I probably should. Because I got a takeout this weekend, and I got the complete different thing that I ordered.
Oh, no.
But here's the thing. This restaurant that's on the street next to me, it was just submerged with people.
It was a mob scene.
Oh, my. It was ridiculous, right? So they usually get I call for takeout. They go, we're not taking takeout between 6 and 8. I go, all right. So I wait till 8. I put the order in. I get a nice entree with shrimp and a kind of a white wine sauce over fettuccine.
Oh, that's
wow,
nice.
That sounds great.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I pick up the thing and then a half hour later, and they're hurried. They're bringing stuff out. So I was ordering for a friend of mine, and the friend is supposed to like have pasta with the dish, and I go, well, that's the dish that has the pasta in it. She goes, no, you got to order the pasta separate. Now, I wasn't in the mood, dude, because this woman's harried. All right, whatever. So that paid extra for a side of pasta that's supposed to come with the entree.
Right.
So I get back, and I got red sauce.
Mm.
And I don't have fettuccine.
Cappellini,
whatever it is. So the order complete was wrong.
That's horrendous.
Well, yeah.
Just suck it up,
Did you eat it?
Yeah, I ate it. Yeah. What am I going to take it back? It's going to be another like, they're already harried. They got 27 people waiting to try to get in. They got reservations. We have a reservation for 8:30. How long is it going to be? You know, it was just nuts.
And then they're going to throw it away if you take it back. It's just going to go to waste.
Yeah. So I ate it. So it's red sauce.
I wonder if the person who got your order, if they switched it, did that person eat the shrimp and the fettuccine?
I don't think the woman understood. I ordered something from the menu online.
Okay.
That, and she did not, I don't think she understood what I go, it's got the shrimp and the fettuccine. She goes, no, it comes with linguine. So I wasn't in the mood because she was nuts. I wasn't going to, you know. So she took down the wrong order, I think.
Yeah, when that happens, I put a place on a 30-day suspension. When that happens, I put them on 30-day suspension.
Yeah, I say I can't.
See,
it's the restaurant that's like right next to me.
Well, you boxed in, but I always do. I do a they don't realize it, but they're on a 30-day suspension.
See, I can tell when I order. if it's on the phone, I can tell if the order is being taken correctly.
Yeah, I had to go in person to put the order in.
Oh.
They stopped answering. At 8 o'clock when I recalled back, no answer.
Oh,
so
wow.
So they were shutting down with the phones.
Yeah.
They were already busy enough. There's no way. So I had to walk over there, place the order, go back home, and then half hour later come and pick the order up.
And you got the wrong thing.
And it was the wrong thing. All right, it's not a serious problem in life. I apologize if I'm dramatizing it. Andrew in Phoenixville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Mikey, how are you, Mike?
What's up, Andrew?
I got a question for you real quick, Mike. I'm a little worried about the Real Muto situation because Wonder Boy Klentak has me worried after what he said today, man.
What did he say today about Real Muto?
He says there's a lot of outstanding circumstances right now in the situation, but we'd like to have him for the long term, but he pretty much has me worried now.
Yeah, that's negotiation posturing because they don't want to pay. That's an overpayment of $23 million for a catcher.
Like, they can't let this guy leave town. Right?
No, and they know it, so they really don't have a choice, but they're just posturing.
I have no faith in Klentak to get this done, Mike. None.
He'll get it done. Yeah, I mean, it's Middleton's money. So it's not like Klentak's going to get Middleton. He wants $23 million. What do you think? Well, Middleton's not going to say no. He can't.
All right. And on the Sixers, real quick. Uh-huh. I love your situation. Like, I don't want to play Milwaukee a second round. I'd rather have him after two series, get some wins under their belt, come in with a little...
I think I've stunned the crowd, Andrew. Because I'm getting no reaction on my perfectly reasoned scenario.
Oh, Mike, I agree.
See, this is second level thinking. First level thinking is you want to get ahead of the Pacers and get the best seed possible. But the best seed possible screws them.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I'm with you. I mean, it's the scared route, Mike, but it's the better route. So I'll be scared for the longer playoff run because I can't take another second round walk either, Mike.
I got you. Andrew, I got you. I have flummoxed Sixer Nation today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I love that word.
First level thinking is the Sixers come out like gangbusters and achieve and soar up in the standings. But that's not better for them.
It's better for us.
You know what?
It's not even better for us.
Yeah, the tinkering.
We'll have more to talk about. They get to the finals.
Yeah, it's better to get to the finals.
I misunderstood during those eight games,
but that also gives the coach latitude. Like, let's say, keep Pompey, we've been talking about the rotation. This gives him a few more games as well. If you're not trying to win every single game because you're trying to move up, that allows you to say, okay, these next 10 minutes, whether he sinks or swims, Thibel's going to get this time playing with Ben and this guy. Mm-hmm. And I'll see, all right, Burks, you're out there for this whole quarter. You can do things to try to see fit. Korkmaz, are you still hot shooting or was that a complete fluke? Tinkering might be also basketball better if he can get a better rotation. Because you know what the rotation is going to be if you're just trying to win. You're going to play the starters heavy, heavy minutes.
Okay. All right. So tinkering, not worry about whether you lose. Because the worst thing that can happen is you still hold on to the sixth seed.
Yeah. So this game, hey, do you think you should have went with Robinson instead of Thibel there after the game? You say, you know what? Maybe I should have. I was giving Thibel a shot. Tomorrow's, in 2 days, we'll give Robinson a shot. We'll see how it goes.
Interestingly enough. There are a lot of Sixer fans out there. And Sixer fans today have not been engaged. What is that about? See, I can't... when I saw the schedule, I immediately picked up.
Mm, I do too.
I immediately... I go, okay, we got something tangible.
Yeah,
it's real. And then you go through the schedule and you know, come to playoffs. Sixer fans have not been engaged by the release of that schedule. And I don't know why.
It's because they don't think they can win. The majority of the fans are down.
They're down on the coach. I know that.
And I think, and then they think that They're some of them are still mad at Horford for whatever reason. They're walking around with Horford anger and stuff like that, which I think is misplaced. I think Horford was playing hurt, but we'll find out if he's healthy now. I think that there's a certain level of they can't do anything, so why get excited? I think that's with Sixers fans right now. I don't think they believe.
They don't believe me. I have carved out a path for them to be realistic that possibly they could get on a roll by being the sixth seed and playing these teams and gaining strength, just like a rolling snowball down a hill. And then all of a sudden, they got a better chance to beat the Bucks.
But Brad Stevens.
People aren't buying that either.
Brad Stevens is the greatest coach to ever live. No titles, but he's the greatest coach to ever live.
All right. No sound, so we'll take your calls until we get out of here. 610-622-0975. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show. '97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get fun Twitter poll numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Need a new mower? Maybe you need some other outdoor power equipment. Well, Paul B. Moyer and Sons is the place to go. They're in Doylestown, PA. They're stocked and they know their equipment. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or just give them a call, order something, and pick it up with contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Eganoff, Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 900 votes on this one today. Where do you want the Sixers to be seated? 12% say stay at 6. 34% say move up to 4 or 5. 54% say doesn't matter.
All righty. Thank you very much. By the way, I'm prone to TV attractions.
Yes.
I have a new attraction.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Caitlin Collins.
From CNN.
Yes.
Yeah. Met her.
You met her?
Yeah.
You met her?
Yeah, when I was working in New York.
Really? What was she doing up there in New York?
She was doing CNN stuff from the office. It was only a few blocks away.
She's the White House reporter.
Nah.
Yeah.
She wasn't then. She was more general then. And then they promoted her to the White House beat.
You know, something, the intellectual part of her brings her to a different level of attraction.
Yeah, she's bright. She
yeah.
is. No, that they'll...
Am I right about that?
You're absolutely right. There are women, sometimes I'll talk to single women, interesting is attractive.
Yes.
Competence is attractive.
Yes.
It is. And she, her being, handling herself so well and sort of poised and intelligent is attractive.
Totally.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
Sometimes women,
guys?
They think, no, sometimes women think it's all about the looks.
Yes.
No.
Think there's women that rely heavily on their looks and don't reveal other parts of their character? That absolutely happens.
Yes.
No, I know, but it's not like news that intelligence is attractive.
No, what I'm saying, I think, is that she doesn't boom off the screen as this Miss Universe beauty, but she's attractive because she's good looking, but also sharp.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying.
Yes. And she doesn't lean into the looks part as much. I mean,
she stays fairly plainish.
Right. Presentable for TV, but she doesn't try to overdo it
exactly.
And she allows the other stuff.
She's beautiful.
Sometimes
correct.
I think women will lean heavy into the looks, and you never really find out if they're funny, smart,
absolutely
talented,
right.
etc.
Yes.
That happens.
Well, that's kind of the way that the industry has made it.
Yes.
Yes.
You can't find out someone's personality if they're hired just to, you know, historically, yeah, it's just been just people have been hired for
ladies will boom off the screen. Like, I was watching this weekend, and that weekend anchor on CNN, what's her name? Anna Cabrera.
Oh, yeah.
Booms off the screen.
Yes.
She has these eyes that like blast off the screen.
For sure.
Caitlin Collins is more the intellectual, reserved type of.
I see.
Plainish type of.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Not that any of those 4 minutes meant anything to anybody. So let's go to Bobito on a cell. Bobito, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bobito.
Hey, what's up, Mikey? How we doing?
What's up, Bobito?
Just chilling. I just had to call. I seen you weren't getting many Sixers guys calling.
I don't know what it is. Sixer fans are in like some kind of a haze right now.
Well, all sports fans kind of get
no, but
old.
To see the energy of this schedule, and you can see, like, you go down the schedule, like, win, loss. You know, I expected Sixer fans to be engaged today, but they're not.
Well, you know, I agreed. I called in when they first said they were picking back up, and they said 8-game schedule. I said, well, I wanted to stay at 6, like what you're saying. But the one thing I was wondering is if it's possible for us to play the Pacers in a 4-5 series. Is that possible? Because they play the Heat twice.
It is possible. It is possible. Well, it's not likely, but it is possible.
That would be the only case I would rather move to the 4-5 slot if we played the Pacers there.
Well, why? What are you gaining? A win over the Pacers?
A shorter first-round series. I think we could.
Why do you want a short first-round series and then play the Bucks?
Well, you know, you get a little rest going against the Bucks.
You don't need rest. You need sink.
No,
you don't need rest at this point. You don't need rest.
I don't get why you guys don't think we can win. We crushed them on Christmas. We beat every team.
That's a regular season game. The Bucks are a better team.
We beat. It's a prime time national TV game.
It's one game. It's not a series. The Bucks in a series are heavily favored over the Sixers.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm betting on the Sixers. I think we're going to the finals. I think we're going to lose to the Lakers in the finals.
All right, listen, man. I hope you're right. But, you know, I don't need to see the Bucks and after a short series against the Pacers. Anyway, Matt Klentak had a video conference today. One of the things that we're all interested to see if baseball could pull it off is in this COVID climate. So here's what he had to say about players testing positive for COVID and what they would do.
I can't reveal the identities of everybody, though I do think in time you will probably figure that out as guys are placed on the COVID list. I will note, though, that a player can be placed on the COVID list without having tested positive for COVID. If you've had exposure to somebody who was positive, if you're experiencing symptoms but haven't tested positive yet, so just the fact that someone shows up on that list doesn't necessarily mean that they have it. But nevertheless, you will likely figure some of this out as we go.
All right, so he's talking about the people that were already tested positive for COVID. And he did talk about some personnel. Like, there are some people. Like, Matt Breen didn't think that Boehm and Spencer Howard would be included on that roster, right?
No, he thought they would.
Oh, he thought they would. But
he thinks they're never playing in the minors. Like, other people thought.
Other people are saying no way.
Right.
So here's what Klentak gets, first of all, about Alec Boehm.
And I think Boehm the same way. Boehm, I don't think we were looking to limit his workload to the same extent. But I think the fact that Boehm is on this roster is also reflective of the fact that we are hopeful that he will be able to contribute for us this year.
Well, that's interesting because that means they're going to start his service.
Yep.
And there were some people that covered the Phillies said there's no way they would have done that. But I don't think they have any choice. He's got to be a hitter in a DH scenario for the Phillies, because they don't have anybody else. And, of course, Spencer Howard is the other one. Now, like I say, these guys, since there's no minor league event, you know, no plans at all, these guys have to play, and Spencer Howard has to pitch. So here's what he had to say about him.
I think Howard is an interesting one, specifically because, as you guys will recall, back in Clearwater, we talked a lot about the need to manage his workload this year. You know, with COVID being what it's been here for the last few months, he's obviously had a chance to rest. So the fact that he is part of this 53-player group should reflect that we view him as a candidate to compete for us in our 60-game season.
All right, there you go. That adds a little depth.
That does add a little depth.
Maybe he becomes a starter. Maybe he gives him a little strength in the back end of the rotation, which is what I thought they should have done a while ago.
I think he's just make him the fifth starter.
That's what I'm saying.
Just make
him
the
fifth really
starter.
It'll be really interesting if they make that kind of leap, an organization that doesn't make leaps normally.
You know, the first pick in the draft, there's talk that he's going to go right onto the major leagues. From this year's draft.
The 18-year-old kid?
First pick overall.
Oh, first pick overall. I thought you meant the Phillies first.
No. They're talking about the first pick overall. He might just go. They're talking about starting his service now. They think he's good enough to be. Well, they don't have exactly a great roster, but they're talking about just might be the cleanup hitter opening day.
The kid from Arizona State?
Yeah.
The first base masher.
Uh-huh.
They've been hitting with a metal bat.
They're talking about...
They're throwing the major leagues with a wood bat?
They're talking about putting them... There was talk already about... And I want to think you're a baseball guy. This is the first time baseball's really come up. I want to ask you what you thought about it.
I don't... The transition to a wood bat takes a while. They're going to expect that kid to be a power hitter. He's a power hitter with a metal bat. So I don't know. I find that hard to believe. Like in the old days, I think Bob Horner made that leap from Arizona State to the major leagues. I don't know if he made it right away.
Yeah.
But I would, you know, that's a big factor for me.
Huh.
All right, 610-632-0975. We'll take your calls until we get out of here on the Mike Missinelli Show. Right back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5:46, Mike Missinelli Show. We talk about that. It's funny because actually the last guy in baseball to do what Tyrone suggested earlier, the number one pick in this year's draft going right to the major leagues. The last guy to do it, Pete Incaviglia.
He was the last one?
Unless wow. Somebody did it after him.
No, but I would have never guessed that.
Yeah,
like, picking Incaviglia in a million years.
Here's Incaviglia did it in 86. He was drafted by the Expos. Refused to play a day in the minor leagues. They wanted to send him to the minor leagues. He refused, forcing them to trade him to the Texas Rangers, who agreed not to send him to the minor leagues.
Wow.
And he hit 30 home runs with the Rangers from the college campus. He hit 48 home runs his junior season in college at Oklahoma State.
Wow. There have been guys since then.
Oh, there have?
I did not know this.
Bob Horner did it before him. Horner played for Arizona State, and he debuted with the Braves after he was drafted. Didn't go to the minor leagues.
Yeah, now it has not been done according to this since 2010.
Okay.
And that was Mike Leake.
Oh, the pitcher.
Yeah.
As a pitcher.
But as far as a position player, after Pete Incaviglia, there was only, well, no, there's two since then. John Olerud, apparently in 89, in 89, went straight from Washington State
to the major leagues.
Allegedly, yeah, right to, 89 draft, and he went right to the Blue Jays. I'm just reading off this almanac.
Yeah.
All right. And the other one was Xavier Nady in 2000 went straight from Cal to the Padres.
Wow. Xavier Nady.
Those are for his position. There's been some pitchers.
I don't even think he's in the league anymore. I remember him, though.
Yeah. And those were the guys. And they were saying once he signed, he's going to get added to Detroit. Some of this is playing a role in how bad Detroit is.
Yeah, see, I look at this thing of it, that's miraculous. Because here's the thing, you can hit home runs in college, and you don't have to hit it off the barrel of bat to carry it out. That's the thing that a metal bat will do for you.
Right.
With a wood bat, you're not going to hit a home run unless you hit it directly on the barrel. So it's a big adjustment to like, the pitching's better, you're going to get balls on your hands, you got to be quicker to get the barrel on the bat for that kind of pitching. That's why it's rarely done. The fact that Incaviglia hit 30 home runs with a wood bat after playing with a metal bat is mind-boggling to me.
So in some ways, is that one of the greater feats in baseball history? Seriously.
I can't believe it. I knew he had refused to play in the minor leagues and he forced his way. But to hit 30 home runs grabbing a wood bat after you've been hitting them with metal bats is just mind-boggling to me that you can square up a ball and hit 30 home runs against big league pitching. That's miraculous. Now, he was kind of a nut, that dude. So he was just like a caveman swinging a bat. Like, he would thrash at everything.
Mm-hmm. Favorite hero, though.
Kid, except in a locker room. when you actually got to know him?
I meant the fans liked him. I know media members.
Fans liked him. Dude was dangerous because he was using.
Oh.
Yeah, the performance-enhancing situation.
Mm.
Kim in Northern Liberties, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kim.
It's Jim.
Jim.
Yeah. Mike, I didn't know I was in direct opposition to you with your Celtics thing. Have you figured out whether or not the Celtics can... Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you figured out where we could play them in the second round if we miss them in first round?
If the Celtics would have to beat the Raptors, right?
I would love
now,
to.
The Celtics would have to play. They would play Indiana. They would play the Pacers. So they probably would not lose to the Pacers, mm-hmm. right?
Like my disdain for the Celtics goes to the level of the Cowboys Eagles. Okay, I would, you know, this team. That city, they brought, we talk about home city, hometown advantage. They brought their parquet floor to their new house.
Yeah, why not?
But I just like.
It wasn't the old parquet floor. They just installed the parquet floor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't have been the old rickety one. No, they that was their style, the parquet floor. So it was a new floor. It was just parquet.
I don't know. Angie Tony would be on any of my top five Sixers list. Okay, if we don't play the Celtics in this playoff series, Michael, and beat them, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I couldn't care less. I got to be honest with you. I who cares? They play the Celtics. I know there's this long history of Sixers Celtics. I guess there is a way you could play with this. I mean, they could drop. The Celtics could drop with the final eight games.
Yeah.
So I guess you could figure out a way where the Sixers would play them in the second round, but I don't know.
They require upsets.
Yeah. Let's get Nick and Delco. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Nick?
Not much, man. I'm just calling in. You guys are talking a lot about the Sixers today. And I don't know what it is with this, with the quarantine and all this stuff stops, but for me personally, I'm past the Sixer season. Like, I don't know, like, just this new format.
Uh-huh.
I'm just looking forward to Phillies baseball and Eagles football.
Well, but if you're past the Sixer season, why would you not be past the Philly season, which is 60 games? A total bastardization of what baseball would be.
Now, I'm a baseball guy.
But like, what? Like the Sixers, it is what it is. Like all these seasons are altered. So like, why would you be out on the Sixers when they have a chance to actually win something? The Phillies don't.
I guess it might be because I just don't see them having a chance to win anything this year.
Well, they have more of a chance than the Phillies, right?
You might be right. The Phillies is exciting anymore. That might just be what it is. But I also wanted to knock on the transition from college to the MLB real quick.
Yeah.
College players use BB core bats nowadays. So the transition of a college player nowadays using a bat that's not totally the BB core standards are more like a wooden bat nowadays. So I don't think it would.
Yeah, but it's still easier to make contact with a composite bat than it is a wood bat.
But what I'm saying is I don't think number one overall drafted players nowadays, that is their hardest transition.
Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. I mean, Xavier Nady's the last one, and you don't even know who that is. All right, stay tuned. Devon Gibbons right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, and then you get another chance to watch the Mike Missanelli show on NBC Sports Philly. So have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.